Well, good day, my friends. What a joy it is to be with you again today as we come to share the next 30 minutes speaking about our lives and how we can use everything that we are and all that we have to God's honor and glory. And truly, there can be no greater reason than that to live our lives. I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster, and what a wonderful joy to be with you again today. Often as I record these programs, think about you and I wonder to myself, where are you when you listen to this program? I've had a few listeners who've emailed me to tell me that they've heard a program on their way to work in the car, and a few who listen to the broadcasts that happen late at night. But as I record this program today, I want you to know that I'm thinking of you and praying for you and really trusting and hoping that you will find a way to transform every aspect of your life into an act of worship. Because, you know, friends, when we do that, God is glorified and we find the reason for our existence, the reason for which we were created. And that brings us great peace and the opportunity to bless others. And there are few things as great in life as being used by God in order to bring blessing to others. Well, as we go through the next 30 minutes, I just want to remind you that at any stage during the day today, you can phone the Radio Pulpit prayer line and counseling line. And the number to phone is Radio Pulpit 012-334-1200. That's 012-334-1200. And of course, I'd love to hear from you. So maybe you just want to drop me a line and say, "Hey, Dion, I listen to you in my office," or I listen to Radio Pulpit when I'm driving in the car. Maybe I've heard from quite a few listeners who tune in on DSTV on their satellites, even one or two who are using the application on their cell phones. Why don't you drop me a line? You can do so at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. And of course, you can also follow on Twitter. Just look for twitter.com/digitaldion. And I always bring updates about all of the things that we're involved in and even these programs on that Twitter feed. Now, today I'm wanting to talk a little bit about being at work on purpose. Doesn't that sound like a very, very interesting statement? Being at work on purpose. And that statement is deliberately a little bit ambiguous, because I want you to think a little bit about the fact that God wants to use the location and the gifts and the abilities and the time in history and the people amongst whom he's placed you in order to achieve something truly remarkable and great. You know that your life is not a mistake. Who you are, what you are, what you can do, and even what you can't do are all things that God had planned way in advance in order to use you as a unique and special creation just where you are. And do you know that there is no one quite like you who can do the things that God wants done? But of course, one of the problems with our lives is we get so caught up in responding to what's happening around us all the time. I don't know about you, but I certainly get into that. My diary gets full and there's so many chores and responsibilities and the pressures of work and having to make ends meet and pay the bills and do what's necessary in order to stay up to date with things that sometimes I find myself just missing a little bit of the real intention of life. And I sometimes worry that perhaps I'm letting the days and the hours pass me by too quickly. You know, I read a wonderful little statement just recently from someone in a book that I've been reading, a lady called Gretchen Rubin, and I really would recommend the book. It's called The Happiness Project. And she's not a Christian, but she speaks very fondly. Well, in fact, maybe she is a Christian now that I come to think of it. She speaks very fondly of her faith relationship. But in the book, she says, you know, whilst the days are long, the years are short. Isn't that a profound thing to think about? Whilst the days are long, the years are short. And that's certainly been my experience. How about you? You know, the days seem to pass by so quickly. They drag on forever. They're filled with many activities and demands and responsibilities. And sometimes we can find ourselves absolutely worn out at the end of the day. You stumble into bed at 11 o'clock at night only to wake up again at 5 the next morning. And the days seem awfully long, but the years seem incredibly short. And I've just experienced that as my children grow up. You know, my daughter's turning 10. Well, she has turned 10 already. And my goodness, I don't know where these last 10 years have gone. It's just gone by too quickly. Now, I want to ask you a couple of little questions today, because one of the problems with our lives when we don't live them with intention, when we're not deliberate about seeking to find God in the moment where we are, is that we can allow life to pass us by. We can be hoping on a dream that should come tomorrow. We can be wishing for something that could be different. And all the while, the very thing that God wants to bless us with and use us to bless others with is right in front of us. And I want to ask you a couple of questions. Think about this and listen to them and see whether any of these resonate with you. Do you go through the day with a sense of constant urgency? You know, I sometimes do. I look at my appointment book and they're scheduled sort of 30 minutes at a time, sometimes even shorter. And I sometimes get a little bit anxious about that. Is there an underlying sense of tension in your close relationships? So the people that you love, the people that you work with, is there some measure of tension there? Maybe it's caused by stress or competitiveness or whatever it may be. Number three, do you have a preoccupation with escaping all of this, with getting away from it all? Number four, do you have a persistent desire for a simpler life? Number five, do you have too little time for love? Oh, that's a tragedy. You need to find time to love. Do you try and do too many things at once? Are you multitasking all of the time? Maybe that's only a question I should ask the ladies. But men and ladies, do you find that you're doing too many things at once? Have you lost your sense of gratitude and wonder in life? And do you sometimes think that there is more to life than just this? Well, if you answered any of those questions in the affirmative, then I want to say perhaps today's little message of encouragement is something for you. And just to remind you again, if ever you find one of these particular programs helpful, then you can contact the Radio Pulpit studios and order a copy of the CD that you can always keep for yourself or pass on to someone else. So sometimes I believe, friends, that what we need is we just need to be able to create a little bit of space where we stop, reflect on our lives, and begin to reorder them with intention. You know, someone once said this wonderful thing. They said, in a game of chess, the game is always won before the last move. Isn't that interesting? It's always won before the last move. And the same thing I've come to discover in rugby matches and soccer matches, you know, this year with the soccer coming up. Half time is such a critical time where one just takes that opportunity with the team to reevaluate and say, what were we doing well in the first half? What were we doing badly? And how can we win the game in the second half? And I want to encourage you to take that little halftime, even if it's just 30 minutes this week, that you sacrifice a little bit of sleep and just grab your Bible and a notepad and a pen and maybe just think about these five little things that I want to share with you today. Now, why is it important for us to stop? Well, the first reason that we need to stop sometimes and reevaluate our lives is because it helps us to reevaluate our priorities. Now, here we are just a few weeks into the year, and many of the people that I know and work with are already running at an unhealthy pace. They're already outstretching themselves. They're already involved in too much. They feel that they've said yes to too many things. And this is a very important thing. When you stop, it gives you an opportunity to reevaluate your priorities. You know, in the Phillips translation of Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says the following. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Now, it's so easy to fall in step with the expectations and attitudes of the world around us. And sometimes the pressure of the crowd can send us in completely the wrong direction. Remember what the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2 verses 11 and 12. It says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from your sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You see, friends, as Christians, we are called to live lives that are different from the rest. We are called to live lives that seek to deliberately honor God and obey his will in everything that we do. not just in the ideal situation that may come or in the life that will come when we feel we're free from the expectations of today. No, honoring and blessing God is something you're expected to do where you are right now. However, when you're running in the crowd, it's often difficult to change course, and sometimes the very best thing to do is simply to stop. And as you stop, take stock of where you are and ask, is this what God desires for me, for my family, and for my career? And so perhaps you need to take a little bit of time to stop and just stand there and reevaluate your priorities. What is most important in your life? And maybe it's time to make some decisions to live towards what God most wants for you. Life is precious. The second reason why we need to stop in order to become intentional about living every moment of our lives for Jesus is because when we stop, we wait upon the Lord and we can be re-energized and renewed. You know, Scripture contains a very simple and clear teaching that says, what you sow, you will reap. I mean, that's a basic principle when it comes to farming as well. And I'm always amazed at how many of us try to reap spiritual growth through physical activity. Somehow we think if we could just do that extra course or attend that extra teaching series, or if we could just read another book, then everything would be okay. You know, the truth is that if we sow activity, we're going to reap activity. And if we sow busyness and demands, we're going to reap busyness and demands. Spiritual needs require spiritual solutions. You know, the prophet Isaiah gives us a wonderful pointer about how we can grow deeper spiritually. He says, the Lord gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Notice where the emphasis lies there, friends. It is God who gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. He goes on to say, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Listen to this. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now let me ask you today, how are you feeling spiritually? Be honest for a moment. Are you at the very best place that you can be with God? Do you need something that you need to stop and just draw aside in order to become still in God's presence? You know, sometimes we need that opportunity just to be quiet before God. Not to be telling God things or asking God for things, but just to set aside those few extra minutes a day where we can just be quiet in God's presence. Remember, the promise of Isaiah is that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And so maybe it's time for you to make a little bit of space to get quiet before God. Perhaps it's time to find a place and a time to draw to what really matters in life. The third thing that's important about stopping in order to become intentional about life is, not only does it help us to reevaluate our priorities, and not only are we re-energized and renewed when we wait upon the Lord, but stopping helps us to review our past. It helps us to understand where we have come from and where we're going. You know, history is an incredible teacher, and experience is an even harder teacher. And I find it so sad when I see myself and other people repeating the same mistakes again and again. You know, I live with many regrets that I've done in my life. And I sometimes can kick myself for doing the same things over and over again. You know, it means that if you do that, you haven't learned from the experiences of your past. And it's only when we honestly evaluate our successes and failures that we can prepare for tomorrow. Yesterday can teach us a great deal about tomorrow, and your willingness to learn from and change your behavior because of failures and success in the past will largely determine your life and improve your future. Now, let me ask you, how often do you simply take time out to review your past and learn from it? How long has it been since you weighed up your successes and your failures, actually did a little exercise, sat down and wrote down, this is what I believe I've done well, and not just done well from the world's perspective, but more specifically from God's perspective? What is it that you did wrong in the last little while where you failed at something? Maybe it's a relationship you haven't paid enough attention to, or maybe it's something that you feel that you really need to find freedom from. But what is it that you haven't done well? And what have you done in order to change it? You know, my friend Graham Power often remarks and says that if you always do what you always did, you need to expect to get the same results you always did. If you always do what you always did, expect to get what you always got. That's his exact saying. Isn't that a wonderful saying? Sometimes we need to just stop, evaluate the past, and say, how do I change it for the future? Now, another reason for us to become intentional about appreciating the life that we have now and finding the opportunity to bless God in the moment is that we need to stop in order to increase our capacity for gratitude. You know, John Maxwell notes that a thankful heart is a heart that has time to count its blessings. You know, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I've cultivated a little discipline of finding people and things to thank and praise God for as I go through my day. Sometimes even people and things that people that I don't know or places that I have no connection with. As I'm driving and I see something special, I just praise the Lord for the beauty of a mountain, or praise the Lord for the life of an animal, or for a family that I see together. Do you remember the story in Luke 17 verses 14 to 17 where Jesus healed the 10 men with leprosy? And of the 10 men he healed, only one came back to thank Jesus. The others were so caught up in the miracle that they forgot to thank the one who performed the miracle for them. Now we need times when we will stop, when we'll stop and reflect on all the things in our lives for which we can be thankful. The psalmist reminds us again and again that it is our duty and our joy to thank God. See Psalm 104. Now, how often do you fulfill that duty, stopping to give thanks to God? How often do you just stop to remember how thankful you are? How often do you stop to give thanks? Now, you know, I have a little discipline. What I try and do, and I learned this from that little book, The Happiness Project, by Gretchen Rubin. I try and write just one line of gratitude for the day. Just one line. It's not daunting, but I just write one little line to say, today I am thankful for, and just a few little words. And you know, it's amazing how that cultivates a sense of blessedness in life, of recognition of the good things that happen around you, and how that transforms your attitude to people and places and situation. You know, being thankful is an instruction in the Bible. Paul puts it this way in Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Isn't it interesting? He says we need to watch, keep our eyes open, and thank. Let me ask you the question. How are you doing with watchfulness and thankfulness? Maybe it's time to ask God to open your eyes again, to see some of the things around you for which you can be thankful and you can praise Him. The fifth thing that we need in order to live our lives intentionally in God, for God's honor and glory, is not only must we stop to reevaluate our priorities, not only must we stop to be re-energized and renewed by waiting upon God, not only must we stop to review the past so that we can learn for the future, not only must we stop in order to increase our capacity for gratitude, but listen to this. Sometimes when we stop, the problems that we face today will resolve themselves when exposed to the light of time. You know, one of my favorite rugby players of all time, and I'm happy to say that I'm a Stormers supporter, is Percy Montgomery. And, you know, I used to watch Percy playing in the back line, and I used to get quite anxious when I would see the other players from the other team running towards him as Percy would catch the ball, mark it, hold onto it as the other players ran up to him. And he would always wait almost until it was just too late, until they were going to tackle him, before he would kick the ball back into play. And I used to say, why is he waiting? Until one day I realized that his strategy is that he's waiting for the team members from the other team to commit themselves before he makes his play. When they've committed themselves, he has the power to decide what he's going to do with the ball. He knows where they're running, and he knows where they'll end up, and he can choose anywhere else on the field to play. You know, sometimes acting too quickly can have disastrous results. Someone told me a joke the other day that illustrates this wonderfully. A guy had lost his dog, and so he rushed to get him back, that he thought of the first solution that he could find. And a friend suggested, why don't you put out an advert in the newspaper to get the dog? And the man thought this through very quickly, and he thought, this is a wonderful thing. So he ran to the newspaper, and he placed an advert, and guess what the advert read? When the newspaper came out, all the advert said was, here, boy. Now, friends, sometimes we can make mistakes when we act too quickly. And perhaps some of the problems in our lives need a little time to work themselves out. We need a little bit of patience just to be able to say, Lord, the struggle that I'm facing today may be something that you're trying to teach me and guard me through, something you're trying to form me with and take me to the other side of. And so I want to say to you, think a little bit about your life, and maybe there's some aspect of intention there that God is trying to work through with you. Don't be too quick to rush through the challenges that you face. Maybe you're in a job which you don't particularly enjoy, or a relationship which is quite difficult. Just be willing to say, Lord, tell me when you want me to move. Tell me when my time here is up, when the thing you've given me to do is done. And friends, you know, when God does that, he will not only set you free from what you're in, but he'll also create the opportunity for you to move on to the next thing. I do believe that firmly. Finally, the last thing that I believe we need to do in order to live all of our lives with intention and courage for God in Christ is we do need to build in some relaxation and rest in order that we can represent Christ with wonderful love. Now, there's no doubt that our spiritual, physical, and emotional condition determines how we react in situations. The better we feel, the more capable we will be to engage with difficult situations and deal with difficult people. The more relaxed we will be and energized we will be in order to make important decisions. You know, one of my great passions in life is cycling. This year I'll be riding the Argus again, and I love mountain biking. It's a wonderful, wonderful sport. Gets me out in the open doors, and I feel fit and excited when I do it. But you know, one of the things I've discovered is on a long ride, I often find that when the ride starts off, I'm very chirpy. I'm happy. I'm chatting to everyone. But boy, oh boy, when you get sort of 80 or 90 kilometers into the ride and your knees are aching and your back's a bit sore and you've got a little bit of a headache because maybe you haven't hydrated well enough and people start chatting to you, you can easily become a little bit cranky. Am I right that when you haven't eaten properly or when you're tired, it's very difficult to present your best possible side? Now let's take the advice that Jesus gave to Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 to 42. Sometimes we need to learn, stop a little, and sit at the Master's feet to spend a little more time appreciating life and living it. You see, when we do that, we will have the energy and the space to respond to others and to engage them with intentional, loving action. We won't find ourselves constantly rushed off our feet at a lack of energy, rushing from one appointment to the next. So today, friends, I want you to remember all the points that we've talked about. This message is actually a very, very simple one. And if you think about it, just remember this one thing. God wants you to be at work on purpose. God wants you to live with a true purpose and to do what you do now with your gifts, your abilities, your time, and your placement. God wants to use all of those things to bring blessing and joy to you, and through you to bring blessing and joy to others. But that takes intention. So, friends, my prayer for you is that you'll find the time and the space just to spend a little bit of time in God's presence, asking him to open your eyes and ears and heart to the people and systems that are around you that you can influence and change, and how you can leverage your love for Jesus Christ to truly transform people, because there truly is nothing more powerful in the world than the love of God acting through a loving person. Well, let me know how it's going with you. I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email, and maybe you've got a little prayer request that you'd like me to pray for. Send me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion@gmail.com. Or follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/digitaldion. Or maybe you'd like to give someone a call at the Radio Pulpit counseling or prayer line, and you can do that on 012-334-1200. I'll give you that number again, 012-334-1200. Well, friends, you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and remember, work can be worship when we do it for Christ the Lord. Have a truly blessed week, and I look forward to being with you again soon. God bless you. Goodbye.